Welcome to the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Hummer, here with a good friend of mine, Eric.
What's up?
Another guy, Ham and Egger in the business, Jobber, some guy we wanted to give a shot, my brother Doug.
Thank you, fuck you, bye.
Okay. Stevie?
He said him!
No, I'm just kidding. Today we'll be doing the...
You really are drunk!
Today we're going to be doing the Royal Rumble 1991 pay-per-view retrospective. It will be our 10th pay-per-view retrospective so far. And we're going to have a lot of good content to get into there. But first, we're going to give it to Eric and the plugs.
Not me? Okay. It's the Boxman and Smart every Wednesday night after AEW and NXT. And then every Friday night at 10 Eastern after SmackDown. Doug?
What's Eric? There's more.
He's hoping that you were just fucking with me.
And that I'll finish him.
But I don't want to.
What other plugs are there?
Oh, well, we got to plug our show.
Yeah. Listen to our show.
Oh. Listen to us every Friday night at 6:30 p.m. Eastern time on blacktalkradio.com. That's everything unscripted.
Flash.
And every Sunday at 5 p.m. on Control Chaos, Daniel, on blacktalkradio.com. That's everything unscripted. This Sunday, there's no episode. And every
Sunday,
night,
instead, we're having a naked seance.
Yeah, he's taking a break.
Doing a
and
start.
Every Tuesday night at 6 p.m. Eastern with me, myself, Clint, and Doug, if Doug is available. Right? Yeah.
If I'm available. We don't know yet because I'm starting a new job this week.
Yeah. So
I got a new street corner. As
of right now, it's probably just... That will be to be announced at 6 p.m. Eastern time for Hard Hits. This Tuesday, we'll be talking about the wild card playoffs upcoming this weekend. Can't believe it's already here. And then listen to us on patreon.com/everythingunscripted. Just join the $3 tier for all the wrestling content and $5 for the wrestling and non-wrestling content. Okay.
All
right. I don't think I missed anything else, right?
No, you did good. All right. WWF Royal Rumble 1991. Big event here, huh, Doug?
I mean, yeah, and this is back when, like, there really wasn't anything on the line. I mean, it was just another gimmick pay-per-view that they decided to do. But
we have 16,000 in attendance here in Miami, Florida.
Right.
In the Miami Arena. 1991, would you say the business is still hot at this point?
No. I mean, it was going through, like, drastic changes, and they were trying, like, the Warrior experiment, you know, in their eyes failed. And, so they were going to try not necessarily anything new, but they were basically, they were going to go back to Hogan at some point.
Yeah.
So it's just, I mean, what was originally going to happen, and this is what Bruce Pritchard said, originally they were going to build to the WrestleMania 7 main event of Sheik Tugboat versus Hulk Hogan. So somehow it was going to be Warrior versus Tugboat for the title at the Rumble. Thank God they didn't go there.
Yeah. Background considering this, the Sergeant Slaughter character is kind of in full focus right now.
Yeah.
And it's known for that Iraqi sympathizer gimmick. How much heat was this getting at this time, Doug? Talk about that.
It was getting a lot of heat. Because there was a lot of people that were pro-America, obviously, and they just felt like the WWF and Sergeant Slaughter were just being insensitive, especially with all the shots they were taking towards the soldiers. Yeah. And Sergeant Slaughter at one time was the was Mr. America.
Yeah.
And it's just like, people had people felt, kind of betrayed. And with Slaughter, I mean, it was a new take on the character. So they tried it. And the thing, too, was this event was actually supposed to be held in the LA Coliseum, where the Rams played at one time, where the Rams and Raiders played. But what was going on was because they didn't have a lot of security at that time, because you had to make sure that there was enough security for all these big events or whatever.
Yeah.
And the LA was too afraid, with so many people being in that Coliseum, they were too afraid of of a terrorist attack. With that many people, especially with Slaughter as a champion.
Yeah. So let's get into it then. Obviously, this is the Royal Rumble. This is the Big Four. At this point, Doug, do you think the stipulation was as popular as it has become nowadays?
Well, not really, because they didn't have the title match. Even though Hogan would win the Rumble, obviously, and get the shot at the title.
Yeah.
But it had nothing to do with him winning. They just named him as number one contender.
Yeah.
But later on, when they would have the stipulation of, okay, well, this is what we're going to do, the winner's going to get a title shot, that's what made it become more popular. Here, it was just kind of a fun match to just, let's see who, let's see who has, the most endurance or whatever. Or let's see who we can get over in this thing.
Yeah. Good buddy of the show, jobbed out on the dark match. Sam Houston lost to Jerry Sags in the dark match.
Yeah, I think this was before, Sam would go on to be in WCW not that long after this.
Yeah.
All right.
It'd be nice to ask him about that this one of these days.
Yeah, next time we have him on, we'll have to ask him.
Moving on to the first match of the card. And honestly, the best match on the card in my view. I watched this again this morning and again last night. And
I've seen this 100 times.
The Rockers and the Orient Express put on a fucking barn burner. A 20-minute barn burner. Their tag match was awesome, and it kind of makes me sad at how tag teams have kind of gone in WWE.
Yeah.
Because around this time, you saw the potential for it. And the Orient Express, Kato and Tanaka, they're not the greatest tag team of all time, but they could go. And they definitely went with the Rockers. And young Michaels and Jannetty, they looked so hungry. What are your thoughts on this match, Doug?
I enjoyed this match. And here's the thing, where they are in 91, definitely, because, again, Orient Express, they would open the show again, the Royal Rumble again in, 92.
Yeah.
But that match was more, boring, because that was too long. But here, it was just, and the match was fantastic. I really enjoyed this match. I've seen it so many times. And the Rockers here, the Rockers could have had a title run in 1991. Because they were on fire in 91. But then, of course, they had the split.
Yeah. A good guy in the professional wrestling business, Dave Meltzer, actually referred to this match as the best match on pay-per-view since Steamboat and Savage at WrestleMania 3.
I mean, that's given it high praise, though. And, I mean, it is very well deserved, I think.
It's like a 20-minute match, and I thought both teams did really well.
Yeah, I mean, because they did.
Then it was like good, real wrestling.
Yeah.
Eric, what did you think?
I thought it was a solid, it was a very good match to open the show. The Rockers were hot with the crowd, so I'm glad it was they were on the show. It was the Young Rockers. You could see the potential, and I said before they probably should have got the title run as tag team champions longer than they did before. They were WWF tag team champions.
No, they were gonna be. The match got scrapped because of the issues with the ring during the match.
Oh yeah, that's right. Okay. So they were never WWF tag team champions.
Yeah,
which is
they won the tag titles in the AWA. Yeah.
AWA. Okay. I think they should have got at least one title run because they were hot with the crowd. Probably the best babyface tag team in the company at that time.
Now, let me ask you a question, Doug. Looking back at this match, could you tell who the star here was between the two? Because I think both guys looked extremely solid.
It was very hard to tell that they were going to go with one guy over the other. Because Jannetty's the one that got the fall.
Yeah.
I couldn't really tell at first. Or, like, here. Anyway.
Yeah, you can. They both look like stars.
I mean, obviously, one would go on to be one of the greatest wrestlers of all time, and the other one would give chubby kids back rubs at conventions. By the way, Marty, you still owe me $50.
And that was just for the blowjob.
Ever since you became unemployed, you're a whole different person.
I'm unemployed for.
How many stars would you give this, Eric? Out of 10.
I give it a 8. And a half. I agree with you. I thought it was the best match on the card.
I'll say 9.
I agree. I'm going to go 9 stars. 9 out of 10. All right. Moving on. We have the Big Boss Man versus the Barbarian in a almost 15-minute barn burner. Barbarian's... He's followed to the ring by Bobby Heenan. First thoughts on this match, Doug, go.
I actually enjoyed this. Yes. I like both guys. I thought that this match, for being a big man match, was better than it should have been.
Yeah.
And the way it ended, you still made Barbarian look strong.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. So... No, but it also furthers the storyline with Boss Man and Heenan, which the storyline there is Boss Man wants to beat the shit out of Heenan for all the stuff that Heenan said back at the end of the summer before about Boss Man's mother. Well, him and Rick Rude said it, and then Rick Rude got suspended, air quotes, by the WWF, but really he got released because he wasn't happy with what he was getting paid. So that was basically the storyline there, and it was Barbarians turning to face him, and I mean it was a really good match. It was better than it should have been.
Yeah, it was a good brawl.
Did you enjoy it, Eric?
Yeah, I saw it was a solid match to, between two solid guys. And it looked like they didn't have some chemistry in the ring. And Bossman left the company after the went to WCW after this, right?
He
said
no. He stuck around until 93.
Okay. And the Barbarian left too.
The Barbarian left in 92. What's up?
Did you see either of these two men in a main event role? Because I remember watching this and looking at Big Boss Man, and he's one of those baby faces, especially around this time, that if Hogan wasn't around, I could see him at the top of the card.
What's funny, and the 1992 Royal Rumble, where they had all the guys, the 30 guys in there, and the match is going to be for the title.
Yeah.
They're out of those 30 guys that were competing in that match for the championship.
Yeah.
I can only think of about five or six that had no business to be champion.
What, 92?
Yeah. Boss Man was one of the guys that I would have considered for a championship run.
Right.
In that match. Barbarian, yeah. Probably not 92. And 91, maybe. Or like when he first went single after breaking up with the Warlord, when he first went single in 1990, like he could have gone for a big run. The problem is that like the matches with Hogan or Warrior probably wouldn't have been good. He would have had to, you know, work with like if he were still kind of hot, if Brett were the WWF champion.
Yeah.
Those matches could have worked.
Yeah.
So to answer your question, yes, but it would depend on who, you know, the champion was at the time. Like Boss Man could have worked with Slaughter and gotten over. And become champion or whatever. Barbarian, he would have had to, you know, it would have had to have been when Brett was champion, if Barbarian would have stayed.
Go over this segment with Sherry at Ultimate Warrior before this match takes place.
Oh, okay. So we're backtracking a little bit here?
Yeah, just a little bit.
Okay. So there's a segment here. Macho King Randy Savage wanted the title shot against the Ultimate Warrior. They had been kind of starting the feud since the beginning of fall of 1990. Jason O'Sherry was the one egging him on. Was the one egging Warrior on. And she came out, she was making a challenge to the Warrior. Basically saying, you know, give the Macho King his title match, be an honorable man and all that. And Warrior just kind of looked at her and said, no. So you knew that this was going to set something up.
Even though other people might think that it would set up a WrestleMania title match. Does not.
No. But it sets up, you know, it does set up the match between the two. The thing is, though, is that, like, Warrior, if they would have worked for the WWF title, yeah, it would have worked.
Yeah, it would have been good.
But the issue is that, you know, Warrior's not that kind of guy to where, like, he should be champion for a year.
Yeah. No, he shouldn't be. Moving past that, is Bobby Heenan the greatest manager of all time, Eric?
He's one of the best managers of all time. Probably top three. Is he the best? I could say, yeah.
Doug, was the Barbarian better here or the Faces of Fear?
I did enjoy his singles run, especially when he was managed by the... I mean, as a member of the Faces of Fear, he was... I mean, him and Ming were fucking animals.
Yeah, they were.
I mean, ask Kevin Nash, he'll tell you. He'll charge you $500, but he'll tell you.
How many stars would you give this match?
I'd give it a 7 out of 10.
Eric?
I agree with Doug, 7 out of 10.
I'm going to agree with you guys, actually. It was a decent big man brawl.
Yeah.
It was what I was expecting, and it wasn't really anything less, so I thought it was serviceable enough. And I really
not
like
too
the
long, not too short. Yeah. Just the right amount of time.
All right, moving on to the title match. You got Sergeant Slaughter with General Edenon. He goes over and he takes the coveted WWF World Heavyweight Championship away from the Ultimate Warrior. There's a lot to get into here, guys, between what they're going to do at WrestleMania with Hogan and Slaughter, and Slaughter's character as a whole, and also them kind of giving up on Ultimate Warrior. Doug, I'm going to start with you. At this point in Ultimate Warrior's title reign, you said that maybe they saw it as a failure. Do you think Vince is looking at him right now as the failed Ultimate Warrior experiment, and we got to have Slaughter transition the belt to Hogan? Do you think that's the mindset they're in right now?
I think that's the mindset they're in because of who's in their ear, and who's in their ear is Hogan. Because, again, part of the reason why Hogan dropped the title to Warrior is so he could go make another movie.
Yeah.
Part of the reason why he didn't win the title WrestleMania 4 back in 88.
Yeah.
Because he had to make a movie. Okay. So they're looking at the problem is that, like, Warrior, you could just kind of tell sometimes, like, with the way he's talking about, like, the fans or whatever, or his interaction with the fans, it's like he doesn't give a shit. And I also think, too, that Warrior, when Warrior kind of didn't want to do a Make-A-Wish, that's when Vince is just like, all right, motherfucker, yeah, you're we're done with you. Because there's a story going out there that, well, Bret Hart tells a story in his book. I don't know how much truth there is to it, okay? However, Warrior was supposed to do a Make-A-Wish for a kid one day, and they're like, hey, you know, Jim, or whatever they were calling him at the time, the Make-A-Wish kid's out there for you. And, again, it's the way Bret writes it in his book. He goes, I don't have time. Well, no, we flew the family in. You have to do this for Make-A-Wish. I don't have time. Like, I've got better things to do.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
So they had the kid.
That's true. That is fucked up.
They were waiting for hours, and Bret Hart even went over and just started talking to him, signed some things for him. Bret goes out for a match. He comes back and doesn't see the family. So he's like, all right, finally Warrior got over there. But then he looks further and sees that they got moved aside because Warrior's just like, tell him, get the fuck out of my way. I got to go out and do my thing. You know, they were kind of like in the way they had to get moved so everybody else could come through the curtain or whatever.
Yeah.
I think it was something like that because WWE has always been proud of their partnership with Make-A-Wish.
Yeah.
So to have somebody do something like that, and again, this is all just what Bret Hart wrote in his book.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's true or not, because I didn't know Warrior like at all or whatever. I really didn't know his personality. So I don't know what the truth is, but if that is true, the day he died, he should have been sent to hell. I mean, I'm just, it's one thing to like no show like an autograph signing or something like that, but when a dying child's wish is to meet you and you say, no, I don't have time for that, I'm too busy, fuck you. I don't like that. So I don't know if that was like the actual reason why they took the title off him, but I would assume that would play a factor. It's just like, okay, we have this huge partnership with Make-A-Wish. Our asshole champion, you know, wouldn't set aside 5 minutes for this kid. So let's tell him the blow, and we'll transition the title back to Hogan. Because even if Hogan doesn't care, Hogan at least will pretend to care.
Yeah. Do you think that Slaughter was the proper choice to go with here?
would have been better than Tugboat.
Anyone else that could have done it? The transition into WrestleMania?
The default answer is DiBiase. Okay?
Or Earthquake. Earthquake had already been doing this.
Yeah. I mean, and here in the 91 Rumble, this was kind of the blow-off between the two of them. So, I mean, the default answer is DiBiase.
House. Eric, what'd you think of this match?
I thought it was okay. I mean, it wasn't the greatest match. It was, I mean, the storyline was probably better than the match itself. It didn't do anything for me in the match itself. But I'll say this about Make-A-Wish. As much as people give shit for John Cena and people hate John Cena, he does Make-A-Wish a lot. And for that, he's a good person. So as much as people hate on John Cena,
well, they hate a lot of good stuff. They hate on John Cena because John Cena's kind of forced down their throats or whatever.
Yeah.
And then, like, WWE decided with this whole Total Divas, Total Bellas bullshit to make him look like a dick just so they could put sympathy on Nikki Bella.
Yeah.
No. John Cena's a good person. Nikki Bella is not.
Yeah.
Okay? Not going to go any further than that because, to be honest with it, I'd like to go at least one episode without pissing off a woman. So I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. I just wanted to say that about John Cena because a lot of people do give shit.
Yeah.
And we were talking about Make-A-Wish, so.
Yeah. I was happy it took the high road.
I think he's granted the most wishes or something, right? John Cena?
Yeah. All right, getting back to this match, because Eric is actually trying to get me to say some bad stuff.
Sorry.
I thought the match sucked.
You did?
Yeah, I didn't like it. Got nothing to do with Slaughter going over. I just think, I don't think they had good chemistry.
Yeah.
And the match with Hogan wasn't bad at WrestleMania. I mean, it wasn't great, but it was better than this.
Here's the thing, though. This kind of went like, because the Hogan Slaughter match went 25 minutes at WrestleMania. Yeah.
That's too long.
Yes. This went 12 minutes and 47 seconds. That's a better time, but at least like Hogan and Slaughter was kind of passable. Well, Hogan and Slaughter would have been passable as a 12-minute, 47-second match.
It would have been passable if Papa Shango would have met his cue on time. Is that the wrong year?
That's the wrong year. That's the next year. Although that match actually did go 12 minutes. So you're in that amount of time. You're just not in the right time frame. I'm still proud of you.
So what do you think of Slaughter's heel character? Do you enjoy it or? Besides the
I really didn't understand it back then.
Yeah.
Because back then, I'm a 5-year-old idiot. Now I'm
a 35-year-old idiot.
It's coming to work with you.
Who, Slaughter?
I got as much hair as Slaughter does. The heel run, like, I never really understood. Knowing what I know now, I think they really put him in a bad spot. Because they're basically saying, hey, you know, we have an Iraqi sympathizer. If you want to kill him, that's okay.
I feel like he got it over, though.
No, he did. But it was after WrestleMania where it was just too much.
Well, yeah, wasn't it kind of dead after WrestleMania?
Yeah.
How many stars are you giving this one?
Am I giving it?
Yeah.
4.
Eric?
I'll give it a 2.
I'm going to go 5 because I'm indifferent about it. I didn't hate it. I liked Slaughter winning the title. Obviously, the Warrior's a fucking abortion, but he's for what it was, the spectacle of it, I didn't hate it. But, yeah. It's going to be a short one today. Moving on. We have the Mountie, one of the greatest characters in professional wrestling history.
A character that knows how to get heat. I'll give him that much.
Yes. Well, we've been watching a lot of his work as the Fabulous Canadians, right?
The Amazing French Canadian, yeah.
Yeah. So we get the Mountie, and he beats Coco Beware with his trusty bird, Frankie. In my opinion, gentlemen, this is the worst match on the card. I do think both characters are bright and funny, and like the athleticism wasn't bad, but the something just didn't click here for me. What do you think, Eric?
Yeah, this was another boring match to me. I mean, it didn't click for me either. I don't even know why. I was wondering why the title match was in the middle of the card, not in the main event. Not in the main event before the Rumble. That had me confused, but. Anyway, yeah, this didn't do anything for me either. I didn't really, it was boring to me.
What do you think, Doug?
All right, first of all, I do have to bring up that this, on the old Coliseum home videotape, which I actually did own at one point, this match wasn't on the tape. No. Did not get added on the tape.
Oh.
So, that being said, it's sad how they give Mountie 9 minutes with Coco Beware. All due respect, Coco Beware. And when he works Tito Santana at WrestleMania 7, that match is 87 seconds. I didn't like this match either. I didn't really like the Mountie gimmick because I thought the Mountie was just a, you know, kind of a pussy. I mean, Coco was, you know, I like Coco.
Yeah. To me, it's just like, why the hell is this on the main card at one of the big four?
Yeah, why is it after the fucking, I mean, I think they put it on after the title match to kind of, you know.
The break.
Yeah. They're like, all right, you know, everybody needs to pee, so here we go.
It just, to me, everything else on this card felt kind of special except for this.
Yeah.
Even that, like, Slaughter and Warrior, you could say what you want about it. It might have been shitty in quality, but it did have spectacle to it. This is just kind of here.
Right.
Eric, what were your thoughts on this one?
Which one?
The Mountie and Coco. Did I already ask you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did I?
Yeah, I thought it was boring.
Oh, yeah, yeah. How many stars would you give it?
I'd only give it a 3.
I'd give it like a 3, 3.5.
I'm going to give it a 3, too. This is the worst match on the card for me. You all right? Getting tired?
Oh, God, it's only going to get worse this upcoming week.
All right, moving on to the next match, the last classical wrestling match we have on this card before we get to the meat and potatoes. DiBiase and Virgil against Dustin and Dusty. Finishing out, this is basically the payoff to their feud, right, Doug?
Yeah.
It's kind of a sad one because Dustin and Dusty lose, but...
Well, they're getting ready to leave.
Yeah.
I mean, Dusty actually informed Vince backstage at this show that he was going to leave.
Really?
Well, I think the contract was coming up anyway.
Yeah.
But he basically, WCW came to their senses and fired Ole Anderson as head booker. And they had an interim head booker in Barry Windham. So Barry was in charge.
Yeah.
From like mid-December to early January, maybe. So around this time. And as soon as Barry got the book, he actually called Dusty like a week or two after. Or like after he got the book, and he said, please come back. I can't do this. So Dusty went to Vince. I don't know if it was backstage at this show, but they knew.
Yeah.
Dusty had even said at the show, he goes, after the show, I'm going to be done. I got an idea because they want me to come back. I'm going to get my old job back.
Yeah.
And Dusty and Dusty was actually back on WCW TV 9 days after this.
Really?
Yeah. Or no, 11 days after this, because this was on January 19th. And on January 30th, he was already back on WCW TV.
To me, this whole thing with DiBiase is the most memorable thing he did in WWE. He was only there for a cup of coffee, but how great was this feud?
It was great because then, like, he didn't do the, like, this is what made him give up the polka dots.
Yeah.
I mean, I did enjoy this feud. I mean, we talked when we did the 1990 Survivor Series.
Yeah.
We talked about how that was a great match. That was the best match on the card, you know, the Dream Team versus the Million Dollar Team.
Yeah.
It was a great feud. And you know, Dustin being part of it, Virgil being part of it, and Virgil didn't have a lot of experience at that point.
No.
But the angle that took place after this match with DiBiase and Virgil, and Virgil whacking DiBiase in the face with the million-dollar belt.
Yeah, this is probably the most over Virgil ever gets, right?
Yeah.
And that builds up to their WrestleMania match.
Mm-hmm.
What was your thoughts on this match as a whole and young Dustin Rhodes?
And young Dustin, you knew he was going to be a star at one point.
Did you?
I thought so.
What'd you think of this one, Eric?
I thought it was solid. I thought it was pretty cool to see Dustin and Dusty teaming up together. I thought that was pretty cool. I mean, it's ironic because then Ted DiBiase's son teamed up with Cody Rhodes later on, like, what, 25 years later?
Yeah.
So there's that connection too. So it was pretty cool to see that. And it was cool to see Virgil hit DiBiase with the belt. I thought that was awesome. The match itself was pretty solid.
I agree. How many stars would you give it, Doug?
I'd give it at least 6.
Okay.
I'll go 6 too.
I'm going to go 7. I like this one. Moving on to the creme de la creme, the main event, the Royal Rumble match.
Which is still one of my all-time favorite matches.
And this is the last Rumble that really doesn't mean anything, right?
Yeah, but it's still fun to watch. Here's the thing. It started in 88, right? 88, 89, 90, 91, the first four Rumbles that didn't mean anything, I actually found all four of them entertaining.
Yeah.
I mean, this was actually the longest one out of all of them.
And two of the greatest legends to ever grace our business opened up this match.
Hey.
Dina Bravo and Saba Simba, right?
Bret Hart.
Saba Simba got eliminated second, my bad.
Yeah.
Can we talk about the Saba Simba character? Is this where Roddy buries it?
No, Roddy buried it when he first debuted.
Okay.
He basically goes, this is Tony Atlas. I don't know what the hell he's doing, but...
It was back in the day, obviously. We don't talk about a lot of politics and stuff like that on this show.
Right.
Would you consider the Saba Simba character to have racial implications because he's tribal? And
it wouldn't get over today.
Well, it didn't get over then.
It wouldn't even be tried today because it's just like if you try it today, it's like it's a bad idea.
Okay. Now, looking at some of the other guys in here, Bret Hart, Dino Bravo, obviously one of the greatest of all time, Rick Martel, Jake Roberts, The Undertaker, Snuka, Bulldog, The Legion of Doom is in here, Duggan, obviously Demolition, Mr. Perfect, Earthquake, The Warlord, Neidhart, Haku.
Don't forget the Tornado, Tito.
Tito, the Tornado. Pretty damn good lineup here, huh, Doug?
Yeah. And here's the thing. A lot of these guys at one point, I mean, these were big stars at some point. And a lot of these guys, you see the times that a lot of these guys lasted in this thing.
Rick Martel's almost in an hour.
52 minutes for Rick Martel. Hercules was in the fucking thing for 37 minutes.
First Bulldog was 37
minutes. Close to 37 minutes.
Greg Valentine, almost 45.
Yeah. Tito was in there for a half hour. Texas Tornado was in there for about 24 and a half. Shane Douglas. Just a schmuck at this point. Yeah, he was in there for about 26 plus. Earthquake was in there for 24 minutes. Hogan, who won the damn thing, he was in there for 21. The longest he's ever really had except for the WrestleMania match, which we mentioned earlier. But a lot of these guys had to work.
How long was Undertaker in there?
15 minutes.
Yeah. With three eliminations, by the way.
Nice. It was his first Rumble, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And look at, like, some of the performances here, right? Rick Martel, four eliminations. Undertaker, three eliminations. Bulldog, three eliminations. Hogan did seven. Brian Knobbs, who was making his debut, by the way, at this point. This was the first match he was in. He replaced the Honky Tonk Man. Yes. So guys were shining here.
I mean, and it was a good match. It was a really good match. The lineup was really good. Knowing WWF back then, you do kind of know Hogan's going to win.
Right. I mean, and the fact that Savage kind of no-showed the match, I mean, they played it up like he was getting chased out of the building by the Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, you knew Hogan was going to win because, like, who else really could have done it?
Yeah.
Because Davey Boy was still kind of, like, I mean, Davey Boy had come back, but... I mean, they were still, like, in the process of rebuilding him.
Bloom was kind of already coming off the rose for Tornado.
Yeah, I mean, you really couldn't do anything with him.
Bret Hart's time was coming.
You look at Tito, and it's just like, okay, he does a half hour, but he was just kind of at that jobber point himself.
Yeah.
Tito's
always been that guy. Like, I feel like they've always kind of considered him for a main event role. It just never happened.
Yeah. Here's actually the funny thing, right?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'll say this. Back in 83, if they couldn't have gotten Hogan, or like 83, 84, if they couldn't have gotten Hogan and Snuka did, Snuka still did what he did, because I personally believe Vince McMahon was looking at just a handful of guys to be like the kind of successor to Bob Backlund.
Yes.
Because they knew Backlund wasn't really going to do anything. And those guys were Jimmy Snuka.
Who's not dependable enough.
Right. Who wasn't dependable enough at that. But they were looking at Snuka because they thought Snuka could be the guy.
Yeah.
The other guy would have been, if they could get him away from his father at that point, they were looking at Kerry. If they could have signed him. And the other guy, I believe, and I don't see why not, was Tito.
Yeah, I've always heard of the Tito rumors.
I mean, and, like, they thought about putting the title on him in 92, but then because they wanted to get that Mexican audience in, but then it would have been too late. And 83, 84 would have been perfect for him. Had they gone with it. But they went with Hogan, which was actually a decent move.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It worked out. That's for
sure. Yeah, for everybody involved.
Yeah.
But no, Tito would have been... Here's the thing. Going down this list real quick here. You look at a lot of these guys. A lot of these guys, with the exception of a few... Like, even Bravo. Like, if Bravo in 88, even though he was still, that's when you could tell, like, he really wasn't in that good of shape and all that. He was roided out. In 88, had they decided to do the whole, you know, anti-USA thing and make him, like, a main event player, him working with Hogan, 88, he could have gotten over as, like, an interim champion.
Yeah, he could.
And
transitional.
Transitional and work with Savage, work with Hogan and Duggan and Jake the Snake and all the top baby faces. It's a new day.
I agree, though. I think he would have been good in that role.
Yeah, but that would have had to happen in like 88.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it was too late here.
And too late here. 89 probably would have been too late, too.
Yeah.
But, like, 88 would have been the year.
When he first came in with Frenchie. Or was it Jimmy?
No, when he first came in, he was managed by Johnny Valiant, but he was part of that new Dream Team thing.
Yeah.
But when Frenchie took him on and became his manager,
yeah.
And they did the whole thing where they where Jesse Ventura helped him set the bench press record.
Yeah.
That would have worked. I can't believe I'm putting this fucker over this much because I don't like Dino Bravo,
I know you don't.
But I am willing to admit this.
That's good. I'm through the moon right now.
Yeah, and here's the thing. And do you know too that Dino Bravo is one person that never got any kind of action figure
really?
From the WWF?
Oh yeah, no Hasbro, nothing.
They didn't even give him an LJN.
Really?
Yeah.
Think there's one.
Is there not? I think there might be.
I don't remember them giving him one. They should have.
There's only like.
Yeah, no, those are customs. He never got a Hasbro, never got an LJN. I don't know why. To be honest with you, like in 87, 88, when those figures were still popular, even in 89, when those figures were still popular, like especially in 88, he was over.
Yeah. Well, he did do stuff with Hogan, right? Did he do a pro?
Well, he was part of the feud with Earthquake and Hogan.
Yeah.
I mean, in 86, they wanted him to do stuff with Hogan, but WWF was afraid of if they took it to Montreal that people would boo Hogan.
Yeah, well, because he was like the most over thing ever.
Yeah. But yeah, so I will say that in 88, and again, that goes to my point. At some point, a lot of these guys could, with the exception of like, you know, Roma probably could have never been a. I like the Power and Glory tag team.
Yeah, but Roma, realistically. I mean, Martel maybe. Jake Roberts.
Martel, here's the thing. As the heel model, he should have won the Intercontinental title.
Yeah.
He should have at least been Intercontinental champion. And he's another guy, though, too, that, you know, working with Brett, you know, in 92, if he would have had some matches with Savage.
Yeah. He was also getting older around this point.
Yeah.
Right?
But, yeah, no, Martel, you know, could have had a run. I mean, Tornado, you know, if he would have, you know, stayed clean. Jake, obviously.
Yeah.
Again, we said Tito. Obviously, we know what Undertaker could do. Snuka was his own worst enemy.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, Davey Boy. Who knows how big a star he would have been if he not gotten in his own head.
Yeah. He could have.
And Davey Boy was actually like Royal Rumble seemed to be his kind of match.
Yeah, he was great in that set.
Yeah. You know, obviously we know Savage. Obviously, you know I'm not going to talk about really the tag team wrestlers in here.
Yeah.
I mean, Greg Valentine. He's another one that could have gone over as like a big heel in like 84, 85. Well, it's up for debate.
I mean, he was a big heel in other places.
Yeah. Let's see. You know, Duggan.
Oh, I think Duggan could have been the successor to Hulk.
I think he should have been. But unfortunately, you know, trip on the turnpike with the Iron Sheik was that. Obviously, Earthquake, you can't really, I mean, the money Earthquake made with Hogan and how he got over there. Perfect, obviously.
Eric, what'd you think of this match?
I thought it was pretty solid. I thought Hogan was the right person to win because he needs to face the company. But I still don't think Sergeant Slaughter should have won the title. And that was the WrestleMania main event. But
right. I mean, I understand him feeling that way.
Yeah, me too.
But yeah, no, I mean, again, this list of guys, obviously Hogan was the right choice. They could have gone a couple of different ways if they wanted to push a new star. The biggest way is that, I mean, if they were going to push a new star, Davey Boy would have gone over.
Yeah. Or Brett. But Brett was still tag team.
Yeah, Brett was still tag team.
But he had that standout performance in Survivor Series, too. So
yes.
He was on the up and up.
Yeah. So it would have been either Davey Boy or Brett. If they wanted to go heel, it would have been Earthquake.
Yeah, because DiBiase, or Perfect.
It could have been either Earthquake or Perfect. Because those were the, or Martel.
Well, yeah, because Taker wasn't, he didn't need
No, that. Taker wasn't ready yet. It would have been Earthquake. Here's the other guys that could have won this match. Davey, if they wanted to push Brett to win this thing because it really didn't mean much, it could have been him.
Yeah.
He could have run the table.
Yeah.
Or Martel, Earthquake, Perfect. Those were like your biggest, like, those, I think.
They're the big names.
Not necessarily the big names, but the guys that could have benefited from a win here.
Oh, yeah. Well,
And well, they could have taken it and run with it.
Yeah.
I think that's the best way to put it, right?
I'd agree.
Yeah.
The match as a whole, do you enjoy it? Or?
I love the Royal Rumble. That's the thing. So, yes, yeah, I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I mean, I've enjoyed every one of them up to the point of 91, and then obviously 92. I can't say anything bad about that. 93 was good.
92 is the most overrated Rumble of all time.
I'm going to beat you with my teddy bear.
You know some of the entrants in there.
In 92?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a lot of ham and eggers.
Yeah, but
like, realistically, the only people that could have won that match were Sid, Flair, or
Hulk. No, I think... I think the 92 Royal Rumble needs to be a subject of a history of Doug's history lesson, so I could go through.
Right. Skinner had a shot. Colonel Mustafa, the Berserker, IRS. Well,
no, IRS had a shot. IRS could have won the damn thing. No.
Nikolai. Oh, Repo Man.
I would have picked Repo.
Yeah, you would have picked Repo Man.
Papa picked Repo Man to win the thing.
Did he?
Yeah, and it drove Dad nuts. Dad hated the Repo Man. God damn it, now I'm getting
Well, he's
a Repo Man.
There you go. He's Smash.
Yeah.
There he does. All right, how many stars are we going to give this one?
A Rumble match?
Yeah.
Nine?
Seven.
I'm going eight. I really liked it. It didn't mean anything, but it didn't matter, I guess, that it didn't mean anything to me. It was such a spectacle. The WWF crowds were the best at this point. They were always hot.
Yeah. They didn't stop getting hot until, what, 95, 96?
I'd say even as early as 93.
Yeah, I guess you could say that.
Each their own. We're going to get into final thoughts and the ratings on the show.
Okay.
Now that we're getting towards the end here. I thought this was an incredibly solid show. I'm going to give this show as a whole an 8. And my final thoughts are, yes, I wouldn't say that this is still the golden era of WWF, or maybe it might be at the end, but this is a must-watch for old-school wrestling fans. Everything on this card,
yeah,
I enjoyed to a mild degree, even the Mountie match. And it was very exciting. It's very nostalgic. And it's a great watch for everybody who wants to tune in and see a good Rumble match. It's a very solid Rumble match. What?
I'm going to say this. First of all, my final rating is going to be a 9. Okay? Like, here's the thing. Around this time, this is when, like, the Hasbro started becoming, like, really popular.
Yeah.
And a lot of these guys, you know, Roma didn't have a Hasbro. Saba Sima didn't. Hercules didn't, which is another travesty. He should have gotten one. Bravo didn't have one. Shane Douglas, obviously. Let's see. Who else? Haku didn't have one. So, like, even though those six guys, but, like, you could replace them with other people. Like, you could create, like, your own Royal Rumble, your Hasbro Royal Rumble, using a lot of the guys that were used on the show.
Yeah.
And I actually, to be honest with you, I did that when I was a kid. Did a lot of Royal Rumbles with the Hasbros.
Yeah.
this is why I'm a virgin. I love this show. I love this era.
Yeah.
This is why I always vote to do stuff like this. Because it's a fun era.
It is.
And there's a lot of fun characters here.
Yeah.
And what's sad is that a lot of these guys in this Rumble match, you know, Davey Boy, LOD, Snuka, Neidhart, Earthquake, Perfect, Tornado, Herc, Bravo. A lot of those guys aren't around anymore. And it sucks.
Yeah.
Because a lot of those guys, well, with the exception, I did get to meet Animal. Okay? But a lot of those guys, and, you know, like Savage, I would love to meet a lot of those guys. But, you know, it is what it is. But, yeah, I mean, no, to me, it's my favorite era in wrestling. So there's not really much more to say.
Okay. Eric, why don't you give your rating and then your final thoughts, and then we're going to head home here.
I'll give it a 7.5. I thought it was a pretty solid show. It was my first time watching it, so a first time viewer of this pay-per-view. I thought it was pretty solid. Some matches I didn't like, but some matches that were pretty entertaining.
This is one of those shows where the good definitely outweigh the bad.
I agree.
Yeah.
This feel like a chore to watch at all. It felt paced well.
I've watched this thing 100 times. I don't think I've ever felt like, oh my god, this thing blows.
I've seen it 4 times in the past 2 days, and I haven't gotten bored. I fell asleep during parts, but I haven't got bored of it. Does anyone have anything else?
Do we know what we want to do for next week yet? Or is this going to be a board meeting later?
We can do part two.
Off air.
Huh?
We start to do some part two, so.
Yeah.
How many part twos do we have? We have a lot of part twos to do.
Yeah, I'll look it up, and we can talk about it. We can do a Patreon, actually, if you want.
All right. And Eric, there's something else I actually have to tell you on air, too, that I forgot to tell you before.
He means off air.
Off air, yeah. Not on air, because it's not podcast related.
Okay. Good or bad?
No, it's good. It's just something I need you to do tomorrow.
Okay.
All right, guys. This is Unscripted Wrestling, Royal Rumble 91. Doug, Eric, thank you so much for coming on. We'll see you next week.
All right, we'll be here.
There.
We think we
will. Bye, Doug. Bye, Dan.